In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Adele Barrant was one of my favorite people. She was feisty, witty, sharp, proud, naughty, a typical New Yorker, you might say. When I first met Adele about 10 years ago in Lynchburg, where I was previously, Adele was in her late 80s. She moved up from Jacksonville, Florida. Usually we think about people moving down, but she moved up to be with her son. Adele learned to get around town, at least from her house to the church. A few stoplights, a few stop signs, through a few neighborhoods, and not a big deal. But it was to her. That's all she really cared about. Being in God's house. She attended every Bible study, every prayer meeting. She asked if she could do any work at the church because she just loved to help. It was her service. She took over much of the secretarial work, emailing the elders and the ushers and the acolytes of their responsibilities of the upcoming service. I especially remember that she loved to staple the bulletins. She was adamant that the bulletins had to be folded just perfectly. And two staples, Pastor, because one staple isn't enough. It has to be perfect because God deserves our best. So this is what we did. And then we would share a time together, and she would share her cheese sandwich with me, or her peanut butter and jelly sandwich with me. She shared what little she had. Cancer made it impossible for her to come to the church, so I would go to her house. She set the coffee and put out cookies for me while she folded the bulletins. On her final day here on this earth, she asked if I brought the bulletins so that she could work on them. I said, "Not today, Adele. I guess I forgot." Well, as you can imagine, we had a lot of conversations about life. She was from Brooklyn, so it was very easy for her to be honest with me. She didn't grow up with much. Even later on in life, she didn't have anything but her car. But what she had, she loved sharing, even to strangers. She would tell me how she would hand out a $20 bill on various occasions to someone off the street. And so we talked about that, and I would say, "You know, Adele," she'd cut me off right away, "Pastor, I know what you're going to say. I know what they're going to do with it. And I don't care. It's mine, and I can do with it what I want, okay? Adele, I'm saying is that maybe, certainly, you could use it for something. Probably, but Pastor, it sure was fun. It was fun to see the look on their face, to see their eyes light up. It sure was fun to see them surprised. To give someone something they didn't expect or suspect. I just love that. Ha! I can see her now with her mouth open, as if to say, Pastor, take that. I can do with it what I want, and I don't care that you think I wasted it." She loved these kind of acts of charity. I thought of her today because of this parable. Those last guys who spent the last hours working. The whistle blows and overjoyed they got paid. They were thrilled to receive something because of the generous master, even if someone else didn't think that they were deserving of it. In this parable, Jesus tells us an unreasonable and outrageous story. The workers hired by the master give a dramatically different level of effort. Some work for 12 hours, some 9. Some are hired for 6 hours, some for 3. And a few laborers work just 1 hour, and yet they, at the end of the day, they all got the same pay. And when we hear this parable, it causes us to simply scratch our heads. It's ridiculous. In fact, it goes against everything that we hold so dear. It challenges our notions of what is right and what is fair. One of the first things in life that we learn is that people get what's coming to them. If you work harder and longer and more faithfully than others, you should get more. It's how our economy functions. It's what our society is based on. And even in the church, where we talk about living by grace alone, we still think that we will receive a reward based on what we do. We go to church, we attend meetings, we give financially, we volunteer for the jobs that nobody else will do. We bear the heat of the day. And we are tempted to believe that our extraordinary events will count for something. If not here, then certainly when the master returns. But did you hear what the master said? I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Our sinful nature simply can't tolerate the idea that our reward is not based on what we do, but completely on the will of the Master. And yet Jesus says that this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. The truth is, some labor from dawn to dusk, they really do bear the heat of the day. And many of us knows what it means to work for the Master all day. We were baptized as babies. We grew up in the church. We've been Sunday school teachers, church leaders, faithful givers, with regular church attendance. And of course, we don't mind at all when the Master goes out and hires others late in the day. In fact, we rejoice to see our church grow and to see people in worship and Bible class, and not one of us would be upset about a deathbed conversion where someone confessed Christ at the 11th hour. These are all things we celebrate, and yet we still hold on to our scorecards. And we still harbor the notion that these new people aren't quite like us. But look at what the Master does. He gives the last as much as the first. He treats them exactly the same. In fact, the last one becomes the first to receive their reward. And our old Adam grumbles with indignation. We need to hear this parable because of the sparks of superiority in our hearts that will consume our souls if they are not put out. Today in this parable, Jesus is speaking to us. The most important things he says, and the key to understanding this reading, is found in the words of the Master to the grumbling workers when he says, "Do you begrudge my generosity?" You see, this phrase from the Master takes the focus off of the workers and their efforts, and as unfair as it may seem to our sinful hearts, points us to the Master and reveals the Master will do what he wants. And what he wants above all is to be generous. Because to him it's fun. It's stupid, foolish fun. The guy may have said, "What's your problem? It's fun to be like that. That's what the kingdom of God is like. And what we see in this parable is that God does what he wants with us instead of treating us as we deserve. Our pride ignores the truth that even our best efforts are soiled with sin. We may have been laboring all day in the vineyard all our lives, but our hearts haven't always been in the right places. We've looked down on others. We've judged the failures of those around us. Every day, in every way, we have sinned. And Scripture tells us the wages of sin is death. That's the payment we deserve. But God is generous. And as we heard in the first reading from Isaiah, his ways are not our ways. And in a way we can't even begin to understand, he promises that he will fully pardon and he will completely forgive. And he will do all of this for us because of Christ. While the forgiveness of God is a completely free gift to us, it has come at great cost, and the cost was paid by Christ. You see, Jesus Christ physically carried our sins with him to the cross, and in his suffering and death, justice was served. This is what Paul meant when he wrote, "And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh and by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him." And this is what Peter meant when he said that Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. These passages tell us in Christ the demands of justice have been met completely and totally in Christ. And because this is true, God promises us that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In Jesus, God reveals his unreasonable generosity. And in today's parable, he shows us that this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. This is the same unreasonable generosity that fed 5,000 families, the Sea of Galilee. This is the same unreasonable generosity we see of the Father who runs to greet and celebrate the return of his Son. This is the same unreasonable generosity that allowed Jesus to forgive the thief on the cross and to proclaim at his dying breath, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." And this is the same unreasonable generosity that today comes to you in his word. That today, through an unbelievable, undeserved generosity, you will receive his body and blood. And today opens the door to heaven and promises you eternal life when you have done nothing to earn it. Today, the unreasonable generosity of the Master has been given to us in Christ. And in Christ, we are saved. The gospel of Jesus Christ goes against everything we hold dear. It is not fair. It makes no sense. And today we can thank God they are true. I look forward to partying with Adele and with all the saints who have ended their journey and their labor at the end of the age bash. We can look forward to that. Can't we look forward to being with people from every nation and tongue and tribe, lifelongers, last-minuters, and happy surprises? the daily praying saints like Adele Barant, the guy who got her 20 bucks, and every one of you who are saved by grace alone. Gazing at our Master who says, "Isn't it fun?" In Jesus' name, amen.